As we begin today, I have something a little unsettling to share with you. We should not be here. I don't mean in the Wedgwood Room. I don't even mean at Turth Valley. I mean we should not even exist. According to all of the known laws of science and chemistry, we should not be here. But of course we are. Scientists have pondered the mystery of life for ages and ages. Giant telescopes have been built and even thrust into space so that they can see galaxies that we did not even know existed. Intricate microscopes have been invented that can see particles so small that we did not know that they existed. And scientists have uncovered remarkable things that prove that we should not be here. As recently as 1966, that's the year Elizabeth and I were married, by the way, as recently as 1966, Carl Sagan said that there were two requirements for life on the planet Earth. The first one is that you had to have a certain type of star, like our sun. And the second was that you had to have a planet that was just a certain distance from that star in order for us to have life. But over the next nearly 50 years, 40 years, scientists continue to research and study. And by the year 2005, they came up with about 200 requirements for there to be life on the planet Earth. And they're still exploring. And don't worry, I'm not going to go over all 200 of them. But in order for us to proceed, I'd like to just touch on some of them. For life to exist on the planet Earth, or in any planet, that planet must be located in a spiral galaxy. But that galaxy has to be a certain size, scientists tell us. It can't be too large. It can't be too small. It has to be of a certain age. It can't be too old. It can't be too young. And that discovery alone eliminated 90% of the known galaxies in the universe. Next, any sun that supports life on the planet Earth has to be in just the right position in that galaxy. In a very narrow band, actually, in the region between the spirals of that galaxy. It cannot be in the spirals itself, but it has to be near the center, but not too close to the center. If it were too close to the center, we would be destroyed. And if it were too far from the center, everything would move too slowly, and we would die. And beyond that, scientists decided they were going to give all of these discoveries a very interesting name. And the name is the Goldilocks parameters. You heard me right. This is not a joke. The Goldilocks parameters. You remember her? She went into the home of the three little bears, and she found some porridge there, and some of it was too hot, and some of it was too cold, but some of it was just right. And then she sat in three different chairs, and some of them were too big, and some of them were too small, and found one that was just right. And then she slept in three beds, and she decided that one was too hard, and one was too soft, but one was, what was it? Just right. Well, scientists have determined that the relationship of the planet Earth to our sun in our galaxy is just right. Otherwise, we would not exist. But wait, there's more. The star, our sun, has to be just the right size. And it has to be just the right mass. And it has to be just the right age, or life could not exist here on planet Earth. If our planet were too close to the sun, we would be sucked up and burned up. And it cannot be too far away from the sun, or everything would turn to ice. But wait, there's more. Planet Earth must be tipped on a certain axis, 23 degrees, in order for there to be seasons and climates that make it possible to grow the food that keeps us alive. And guess what? All of those things are just right. It's the Goldilocks parameter. Scientists have also determined that our sun's luminosity has increased by 15%. Now, that's very interesting because that should destroy life on the planet Earth. However, because life grew and absorbed carbon monoxide at exactly the right amount and other gases, everything worked perfectly in perfect synchronization, so far at least. And what about water? We need water to exist on the planet Earth. If our planet were just 2% closer to the sun, or 2% further away from the sun, there would be no more water. But guess what? Things are just right. And in addition to that, there's a gravitational pull of the moon that keeps the water vapor trapped on planet Earth. It's just right. And the Earth rotates every 24 hours. Any slower and we would be toast. Just right. Now, in 1967, that was just 1 year after Elizabeth and I were married, archaeologists in Israel were digging and found a scroll in Jerusalem that dated thousands and thousands of years before Jesus Christ. And on that scroll, there was a new psalm. But unlike all the other psalms, this one had with it musical notation. So I can actually sing this psalm to you. It goes like this. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. I see clouds of white. The bright, blessed day. The dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. King David said it this way. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? I think I like Psalm 8 even more than I like Psalm 23. It's just right. Did you know that you owe your life to the planet Jupiter? That's right. Because of its size, it shields the planet Earth from large meteors that are coming in our direction. If it were not for Jupiter, scientists have determined that our world would be struck by meteors 1,000 times more than they are now, causing catastrophes and even death. If Jupiter were smaller, it would not shield us from these meteors. If it were larger, it would suck us away from the sun. But Jupiter is just right. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now, after uncovering about 200 parameters necessary for life, scientists say that the odds of all of those parameters coming together exactly right is infinitesimal. and they have even put a number to it. It is 1 to 10 with 42 zeros after the 10. The scientist who came up with that equation is named Dr. Hugh Ross, and he said, "There must be a God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth like none other." In 1968, just 2 years after Elizabeth and I were married, Bill Anders was an astronaut on Apollo 8. This was the first time that man had gone into space, out of our atmosphere, circled the moon, and came back. And while he was in space, Bill Anders took photographs of our planet. And those photographs have become iconic, loved photographs of planet Earth. And he reflected on what he saw and the photographs that he took. And here is one of the things he said. The Earth was the only color that we could see in the universe. Our planet is like no other. It's just right. All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee. Center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow and flashing sea, singing bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. When God created light, he said, "It is good." When God created vegetation, he said, "It is good." When God created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, he said, "It is good." And finally, God created man in his own image. He created us. And then God looked at everything that he had made and he said, "It is very good." But then, man disobeyed God and rebelled against God and broke God's heart. And with the fall of man, all of creation has begun a slow, steady, spinning atmosphere of death. And it's getting faster and faster, increasing in speed as it goes with every generation. And eventually, everything is going to dissolve and we will not be able to exist any longer. Even David, I think, understood that. And in Psalm 8, he said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" David knew the answer because God had already given it. God gave it in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And he said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Till the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." David was echoing that command, that gift of God. David said that God made you just a little lower than the angels. He crowned you with glory and honor. because He made you in His image. He gave you the privilege and the responsibility to rule over this creation of His on planet Earth. God must think pretty highly of you, because He looked at you and He said, "It is very good." Now, perhaps you have seen that famous poster of a little boy who almost looks like he's praying. And the caption under this poster of this little boy says, "I know I'm somebody, 'cause God don't make no junk." You seen that poster? Wonderful poster. Perhaps you have met people, however, who thought they were junky. Or maybe you yourself, at one time or another, have thought of yourself as junky. Wrong on both counts, because God don't make no junk. He is greater than we are. The angels are greater than we are. But third, in the process of creation comes man, His glorious creation, and there we are, created in His image. We are not an accident, brothers and sisters. God had a plan. We have a purpose. Our lives have meaning, and our lives have value. In His generous wisdom, God then created things for you to do. And I believe you know these two verses very well, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But do you know the next verse? Verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What is man that you are mindful of him? It's like God gives you the keys to a very lovely garden and He says, "Now I want you to go in there to this garden that's filled with all kinds of possibilities, overflowing with hope, and I want you to take care of that garden. It's all yours. You've been made in my image. Now go and tend my garden." Well, as we know, Adam and Eve kind of messed that up. And guess what? So do we. We continue to mess it up, and that's a problem, and that's why we need a Savior. Now, here's another problem. Over the years, over the generations, over the centuries, we have succeeded in distorting the beautiful image of God. The perfect beauty of God was at the heart of our design, but we have increasingly damaged that perfect image. When people look at us, do they see God? When people look at us, do they hear God? When people are around us, do they feel the love of God? I think David was lamenting that point when he said, "Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Perhaps David was a little embarrassed when he wrote those words. Or perhaps the Holy Spirit was convicting his heart when he wrote those words, when he gazed into heaven, and when he wondered at the galaxies and the stars. Then he looked at the ground around him. He could hardly grasp how God could love us so much. But He does. When we damage the image of God, how can we ever make it right again? Here's the answer. God tells us in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Who is the perfect image of God? Jesus, not us. We're only a reflection of that perfect image. Now listen to Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Think about it. You have wrapped yourself with Jesus Christ, who is the perfect image of God. So no matter how much you may fail to live up to your calling of being the salt of the earth, God sees Christ not only in you, but all over you. His perfect image. And God says, it's very good. It is just right. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is very good. He is just right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and glorify you that we even exist. And we praise you and glorify you that we are a reflection of you. Lord, you have given us much to do. May we be your hands and your lips and your feet and your eyes and your love. And may everything we do, Lord, reflect your glory. In praise and thanksgiving, we pray to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.